You know, the word I'm looking at here in verse 16 is quench. And as was mentioned earlier, the Romans put fire on their arrow. And let us bear in mind that this is not just a normal arrow. This is an arrow with fire on it. And many a times we underestimate the enemy that we are fighting. You know, sometimes you say, okay, I'm going to, I woke up late this morning, I'm going to leave home without doing my morning devotions. Or I'm going to go to bed without reading a bit of God's word. And this is the sort of substandard, mediocre approach that puts us at risk for a relentless enemy. We do not understand how relentless and persistent our enemy is. In fact, 1 Peter 5 verse 8 says, "Be sober, be vigilant, for the adversary as a roaring lion." Have you ever seen a lion roar? The scripture is clear about who our enemy is. And I think a flaming arrow is so depictive and representative of the attacks of Satan against us. But the word here is quench. And the shield that was used in these days was a wooden shield. And what would happen is when the flaming arrow hits the wooden shield would quench the fire. And we are reminded that Satan is just a creature of God. God could have broken the arrow. He could have prevented the arrow from forming. But what this is saying to me is that no matter what Satan does, no matter what he brings to you, God is greater than it. And that shield will quench the arrow. I think a good example of this is the Lord himself. The flaming arrow was the scribes and the Pharisees who crucified Jesus. You know, the scripture says, had they known, they would not have crucified the Lord. And they were being empowered and moved by Satan. And this was a flaming arrow. But the hymn we normally sing, it says, "The very spear that pierced thy side drew forth the blood to save." This arrow was quenched in giving us eternal life. Satan tried. He tried to stop God's plan. But nevertheless, God was greater. His plan only worked together with God's divine plan.
And a good example of someone who took up the shield of faith, and forgive me for going a bit ahead, but David in the story of Goliath, when he went to Saul to tell him that he would go fight him, Saul immediately said, "You're not able to go fight this Philistine." But David's answer is incredible, and what he says is, "The Lord delivered me out of the paw of the lion and delivered me out of the paw of the bear, and he will deliver me once again from the Philistine." So we see there that complete and utter confidence in God and that he would deliver him, not in himself.
Amen.
So, we have covered, and I think I like that illustration. Don't try to get from that. This is not being a coward when you are covered. This is actually the real strength of the believer, is just to be under the cover of his wings, having that shield, because the enemy is going to be trying to put all of these dark fire, shaking your confidence in God, that he is not really caring for you, especially when things are a little bit difficult. The first thing it comes, where is he? How come he doesn't love me anymore? How come this thing that doesn't happen? But David, I appreciate that verse. I'm always amazed when Paul said on that ship, "I believe God." It's like, anybody said, "Well, yeah, I believe that." But here is a man who stood, and everybody was looking at that guy with chain in his hand. I mean, he's a prisoner. And the dignity, you know why? Not in himself, not he's a, you know, a big shot or anything. He knows, there are all of these soldier and centurion. He believed God. His confidence, you know, they start listening to him. They start listening to him. When you have that confidence, not in yourself, in God, that will lead us on. But now we have another piece. We need to move on.
Amen. Let me just make this point. So the scripture says it will quench all the fiery darts of the enemy. The lack of confidence that we have may be connected to whether or not we have proven God.
Mm-hmm.
Right? It is not that when those darts hit the shield of faith. I'm speaking in a material way. We know this is spiritual. That the shield of faith is starting to waver from the impact of the darts. No. The confidence that we have in God, and this is where Paul was unmovable, Abraham unwavering, is that the confidence and the belief that God is able to shield me from those fiery darts, is that when they come in, they hit and they fall. That there is no, that, you know, there's a hurricane, a tornado that may come and shake this building. And you say, man, this building's going to fall. But there is that which doesn't even move, because it's God who is himself that shield of faith. It is that we have the confidence to know fiery darts hitting the shield of faith, the connection with God.
Amen.
It's quenched, all of it. It's when we move around or outside or away, in David's example, that we're exposed. And so the question that we have to ask ourselves, young people, do I expose myself? The connection that we are to have with God in faith and confidence, do we move away from that by being in places and doing things that we ought not? And therefore, now I'm worried because the shield is not there because I've moved away from it. Paul never moved away from it. I mean, think of it. I mean, the ship, the water, everybody's in anxiety and we're going to die and drown. And Paul is saying, and he's a man that's in chains that can't even swim if you go to, he says, listen, I believe God. So when the enemy comes at us, it's about being in the right place, having the right faith, so that when the fiery darts come, we aren't shaken. We know they're going to come, but the shield of faith is there. And I'm confident in what? That I'm able to do it? No, when they hit that shield of faith, they're quenched, every last one. The fire that's meant to consume us, I want you to understand, young people, the devil wants to consume you with those fiery darts. And for some young people, he has, right? Crash and burn, as Brother Chuck would say. Completely useless for God. Not to salvation, eternal salvation, but in the scene, to be effective for him. They've fallen prey to the fiery darts, and that the effects is their spiritual life has been blown up.
And really that example, I think, Ben, you brought up, that Absalom, is really a very vivid picture of rebellious, because that's really what our heart, the young people's play. When we're young, you just, you know, I don't want my father to tell me what to do. I'm just handsome and smarter than everybody else. I could do everything. And you walk away from that protection of faith, and you end up hanging with that hair of yours. That's what's going to get you in trouble. And you are, I think the word, vulnerable to the attack of the enemy. When we rebel against God, when we walk away thinking we could do things on our own strength, we're smart enough, that's where we get shot at, big time. And, you know, how many young people that you know, that we know, that have all of the privileges, and yet they let that shield of faith down, they went into by sight, they went by their own strengths, and they ended up really useless for God. Yeah. And that's what not we need to be here. We need to be a good soldier. So not only that you are protected by faith, that faith becomes your shield. Mm. But now you have something for your head, because I think there was mentioned something in prayer about, you know, the capabilities the Lord had given us in that head, and how dangerous that mind could be if it's not protected by the helmet of salvation. So let's talk a little bit about the helmet of salvation.